Let's chapter 86, subject kidnapping of Subhadra.
Excellent.
After hearing this incident, King Parikshit was more inquisitive to hear about Krishna and his pastime, and thus he inquired from Sukadeva Goswami how his grandmother Subhadra was kidnapped by his grandfather Arjuna under the instigation of Lord Krishna. He was very much eager to learn about the marriage of his grandfather and grandmother, thus being kidnapped. Next verse. Sukadeva Goswami began to narrate the story as follows. In quotation, once upon a time, your grandfather Arjuna, the great hero, was visiting several holy places and pilgrimages, and while he was thus traveling all over, he happened to come to the Prabhas Kshetra. In that Prabhas Kshetra, he heard the news that Lord Balaram was negotiating the marriage of Subhadra, the daughter of Arjuna's maternal uncle, Vasudev. While Balaram was in favor of marrying Subhadra with Duryodhana, father Vasudev and brother Krishna was not in agreement with him. Arjuna, taking this opportunity, desired to gain the hands of Subhadra. Arjuna, while he thought of Subhadra and her beauty, he became more and more captivated with the idea of marrying her, and thus he dressed himself like a Vaishnava sannyasi, taking in his hand tridanda. The Mahabadi sannyasis, they take one danda or one rod, whereas the Vaishnava sannyasis take tridanda or three rods. These three rods or tridanda means that a Vaishnava sannyasi is blessed to render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his body, mind and words. For this tridanda sannyas is present since a very, very long time, and as such, the Vaishnava sannyasis are called tridandis, or sometimes tridandi shami or tridandi gosham. Sannyasis are generally meant to travel all over the country for preaching work, but during the 4 months beginning from September through December, on account of rainy season in India, they do not travel but take shelter of one place, remain there without moving, and this movement of the sannyasi is called Chaturmasa Vrata. While a sannyasi stays in a place for 4 months, local inhabitants of that place take advantage of his presence, become spiritually advanced. So Arjuna, in the dress of a tridandi sannyasi, remained in the city of Dwarka for 4 months, devising plan how he could get Subhadra as his wife. The inhabitants of Dwarka city, as well as Lord Balaram, could not recognize the sannyasi that he was Arjuna himself. Therefore, all of them offered their respect and obeisances to the sannyasi without knowing the actual fact. That's right. One day, Lord Balaram invited this particular sannyasi to lunch at his home. Balaramji offered the sannyasi very respectfully all kinds of palatable dishes. The so-called sannyasi was eating very sumptuously whatever was offered by Balaram. While eating at the home of Balaramji, Arjuna was simply looking over beautiful Subhadra, who was very, very enchanting even to the great heroes and kings. Out of love for her, Arjuna's eyes became brightened. He began to see upon Subhadra with glaring eyes. This way, Arjuna decided to achieve Subhadra somehow or other as his wife, and his mind became too much agitated on account of this strong desire. On the other hand, Arjuna, the grandfather of Maharaj Parikshit, but also extraordinarily beautiful, and his structure of the body was very much attractive, so that Subhadra also became attracted by him. So Subhadra also decided within her mind that she would accept Arjuna only as her husband. Subhadra, as a simple girl, was mining great pleasure by looking on Arjuna. Thus, Arjuna also became more and more attracted by her. This way, Subhadra dedicated herself to Arjuna. Arjuna decided to marry her by any means, and he was 24 hours absorbed in the thought how he could execute the plan of getting Subhadra as his wife. Prince Arjuna was very much afflicted with the thought of getting Subhadra. He was not in peace of mind even for a moment. Except once upon a time, Subhadra came out of the palace fort, being seated on a chariot, was going to see the gods in the temple. Arjuna took this opportunity with the permission of Vasudeva and Devaki. He kidnapped her. After getting on the chariot of Subhadra, Arjuna prepared himself for the fight. While Arjuna was taking away Subhadra on the chariot, the soldiers were ordered to check him. But Arjuna, taking up his bow, threw away all the soldiers by beating them with his arrows. While Subhadra was taken away by Arjuna in that way, her relatives and family members began to cry. Still, Arjuna took away his share as the lion takes his share and goes away. And the whole thing was disclosed to Lord Balaram. The so-called sannyasi was Arjuna himself. He planned to take away Subhadra by such device. Actually, he has had taken away Subhadra. He became very much angry. He became so much agitated in his mind, exactly like the waves of the ocean become agitated on the full moon day. Lord Krishna was in favor of Arjuna. Therefore, he, along with other members of the family, tried to pacify Balaram by falling down on his feet and begging him for pardoning Arjuna. But Balaram was convinced about the fact that Subhadra was attached to Arjuna. Thus he became pleased to know that Subhadra was wanting Arjuna as her husband. The matter was settled up when Lord Balaram arranged for sending various kinds of dowry for blessing the married couple, all kinds of riches, articles, elephants, chariots, horses, servants and maidservants, etc. As Maharaj Parikshit was very much anxious to hear about Krishna, so Sukadeva Goswami, after finishing the incidents of Subhadra's being kidnapped by Arjuna, he began to narrate another story as follows. There was a householder Brahmin in the capital city of Mithila, the kingdom of Videha. This Brahmin's name was Sutadeva. He was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, but completely detached from material attraction, peaceful in mind on account of his being fully Krishna conscious and always being engaged in the service of the Lord. He was very learned and full of knowledge, and he had no other desire than being fully in Krishna consciousness. Although he was situated in the order of householder's life, still he never attempted to earn something for his livelihood. Whatever he could achieve without much endeavor for it, he was satisfied, and somehow or other he used to eat in that way. He was, however, getting every day the necessities of his life exactly in the same quantity as he required, and not more than that. That was his destiny. Brahmin was also not eager to get more than that. Thus, very peacefully he used to execute the regulative principle of a Brahmin's duty as they are enjoined in the revealed scriptures. Fortunately, the king of that place was as good a devotee like the Brahmin. The name of the famous king was Bahulas. He was very much well established in his reputation as a good king, and he was not at all ambitious to acquire more kingdom for his sense gratification. As such, both the Brahmins and the king Bahulasa meant a pure devotee of Lord Krishna in that place.
Next man, once upon a time, Lord Krishna, being very much merciful upon these two devotees, the king Bahulasa and the Brahmin, before them, he asked his driver, Daru, to take his chariot in the capital city of Mithila. Thus he went there. Lord Krishna was accompanied by the great sage Narada, Bhamadev, Atri, Vedavyas, Parshuram, Ashit, Aruni, myself, Brihaspati, Ganna, Maitreya, Chavan, and Lord Krishna, along with the sages, were passing through many villages and towns, everywhere the citizens would receive them with great respect and offer them worshipable articles, and thus all of them would come to see the Lord, and all of them assembled together in one place. It seemed that the sun planet is present there with his various satellites, parts and planets. In that journey, they passed through the kingdom of Anartha, Dhanya, Krujangal, Kanka, Pasa, Manchal, Kunti, Madhu, Kaikeya, Kusal, Arna. Thus, all the citizens of these places, both men and women, could see Lord Krishna eye to eye. Thus they enjoyed the celestial happiness in open heart, full of love and affection for the Lord. And when they saw the face of the Lord, it appeared that they were drinking the nectarine through their eyes. As a result of their seeing Krishna eye to eye, all their misconception of life and ignorance became dissipated. When the Lord was passing through those countries, when people used to visit him, simply by glancing over them, the Lord bestowing with all auspicity upon them and was making them liberated from all kinds of ignorance. In some of the places, the demigods also would join with the human being. Both together, they would glorify the Lord. Thus, all directions became cleansed of all inauspicious atmosphere. In this way, gradually and slowly, Lord Krishna reached the kingdom of Vidya. When the news of Lord's arrival was received by the citizens, all of them felt unlimited happiness. Every one of them came to welcome the Lord, taking some gifts in their hands to offer to the Supreme Lord. As soon as they saw Lord Krishna, immediately their heart became fructified with transcendental bliss, exactly like the lotus flower blooms on rising of the sun. All of them took the opportunity of seeing all the great sages whose name they simply heard but never saw. By the mercy of Lord Krishna, they could see both the Lord along with the great sages together. Now the king Bahulasa, as well as the Brahmin Sutodev, knowing it well that the Lord had come there just to grace them with favor, therefore immediately they fell down on the lotus feet of the Lord and offered their respects. Both the king Bahulasa as well as the Brahmin Sutodev
simultaneously invited all the judges and Lord Krishna with folded hands. Lord Krishna, in order to please both of them, expanded himself into two, and he went to the house of each one of them. But both of them could not understand that the Lord has gone to the house of the other. Both the king and the Brahmin thought it that the Lord has gone to his house only.
This is another opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that without the knowledge of the other, he was present along with his companions in the house of each one of them. This opulence is described in the revealed scriptures as Vaibhav Prakash. Similarly, when Lord Krishna married 16,000 wives, he also expanded himself into 16,000 forms, each one of them as powerful as himself. Similarly, he also expanded in Vrindavan in so many cowherds, boys, cows, calves, when Brahma stolen away his real cows, calves and cowherds, boys. That's why the king of Videha, Bahulasya, was very intelligent and perfectly gentleman. He was feeling very much astonishment because so many great sages along with the Supreme Personality of Godhead were present personally in his home. He knew it perfectly well that conditioned soul, especially when they are engaged in worldly affairs, they cannot be 10% pure, whereas the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pure devotees are always transcendental to this worldly contamination. Still, when he found that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and all the great sages were at his home, he simply felt astonishment and began to thank within himself Lord Krishna for his causeless mercy. So, feeling very much obliged, he wanted to receive them to the best of his capacity, and thus he called for very nice chairs and cushions for their sitting. And all the sages, along with Lord Krishna, took their seats and sat down very comfortably. At that time, King Bahulasya's mind was too much restless, not on account of some problems, but on account of the great ecstasy out of love and devotion. His heart was filled up with love and affection for the Lord along with the associates. And in great ecstasy, his eyes were filled up with tears. So immediately he arranged for washing the feet of his divine guests. And after washing them, he took the water along with his family members on the head. After this, he offered to the guests nice flower garlands, sandalwood pearl, incense, new garments, ornaments, lamps, nice offerings, cows, bulls. This way he worshipped each one of them, just fitting to his royal position. And every one of them was fed sumptuously, and all of them were sitting very comfortably. At that time, Bahulasya came before Lord Krishna and brought his lotus feet, placed them on his lap, and while massaging the feet with his hands, he began to speak about the glories of the Lord in sweet voice. My dear Lord, you are the super soul of all living entities and cognizant of everyone's activities as witness within the heart. As such, in duty bound, we always think of your lotus feet
so that we can remain in secure position without deviating from your eternal service. As a result of this continuous remembrance about your lotus feet by us, you have so kindly visited my flesh personally, favored me with your causeless mercy. You have heard, my dear Lord, that you perform it by your various statesmen, that your pure devotees are dearer to you more than Lord Balaram or your constant servitor, the goddess of fortune. Your devotees are dearer to you than your first son, Lord Brahma. And I am sure, in order to prove your divine statement true to the point, you have so kindly visited my place. I cannot imagine how people can be so much godless and demoniac, even after knowing about your godless mercy and affection for your devotees who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness. How they can forget your lotus feet? My dear Lord, it is known to us that you are so kind and liberal that a person who has left everything just to be engaged in Krishna consciousness, sometimes you give up yourself also in exchange of that unalloyed service. Your appearance in the Jodhu dynasty is to fulfill your mission to reclaim all conditioned souls rotting in the sinful activities of material existence. This fame is already broadcast all over the world. My dear Lord, you are the ocean of unlimited mercy, love and affection. Your transcendental form is full of bliss, knowledge and eternity. As such, you can attract everyone's heart by your beautiful form as Shyamasundara Krishna. Your knowledge is unlimited, and to teach all people how to execute devotional service, you have your incarnation, Naranarayan, engage in severe austerities and penances at Badrinarayan. Finally, therefore, accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. My dear Lord, I beg to request you to remain at my place along with your companion, the great sages and Brahmins, so that this family of the famous king Nimi may be sanctified by the dust of your lotus feet at least for a few days. Lord Krishna could not refuse the request of his devotee, and thus he remained there for a few days along with the sages in order to sanctify the city of Mithila and all the citizens thereof, both men and women. Next paragraph. On the other hand, exactly like the king Bahulasa, the Brahmin Sutadev also being received Lord Krishna along with associates at his home, became transcendentally overwhelmed with joy. After offering them nice sitting place, the Brahmin began to dance, trying his wrapper on the body. Sutadev was not rich at all. Therefore, he offered to the distinguished guest some mattresses, wooden planks, straw carpets, etc. But to his best capacity, he offered welcome to the distinguished guest, Lord Krishna and the sages. He began to speak very highly of the Lord and the sages, and along with his wife, he began to wash the feet of each one of them present there. After this, he took the washed water and sprinkled it over all the members of his family, and it appears that the Brahmin, although apparently very poor, was the most fortunate at that time. While the Brahmin Sutadev was welcoming
Lord Krishna and his associates simply forgot himself in transcendental joy. After this, according to his capacity, he brought fruits, incense, scented water, scented clay, tulsi leaves, pusha straw, lotus flower, although they are not very costly and they could be secured very easily, but because they are offered with devotional love, Lord Krishna and his associates accepted them very gladly. His wife cooked a very simple foodstuff like rice and dal, and Lord Krishna and his followers were very much pleased to accept them because they are offered in devotional love. And Lord Krishna and his associates were fed in this way. The Brahmin Sutadev was thinking within himself like this: I am fallen into the deep well of darkness of householder life. I am the most unfortunate person. How it has become possible that Lord Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality, Godhead, and his associate, the great sages, whose very presence makes the place as sanctified as pilgrimage, how all of them have agreed to come to my place? While the Brahmin was thinking like that, the guests finished their lunch and sat very comfortably. At that time, the Brahmin Sutadev, along with his wife, children, and other relatives, appeared there to render service to the distinguished guests. While touching the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, the Brahmin began to say as follows. Next paragraph with quotation. Dear Lord, you are the Supreme Person, Purushottam, transcendentally situated to the manifested and non-manifested material creation. The activities of this material world and that of the conditioned soul have nothing to do with your position. I can appreciate that it is not that you have only this day given me your audience. You are associating with all the living entities as Paramatma since the beginning of creation. Present clause, next paragraph. This statement of the Brahmin is very much instructive. It is a fact that the Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature entered the creation of this material world as Vishnu, Parbhodaksai Vishnu, Kirodaksai Vishnu, and in very friendly attitude, the Lord is sitting along with the conditioned soul in the same body. Therefore, every living entity has the Lord with him from the very beginning, but still, due to his wrong consciousness of life, he cannot understand it. When his consciousness is, however, changed into Krishna consciousness, he can immediately understand how Krishna is trying to assist the conditioned soul to get out of this material entanglement. Sutadev continued to say, my dear Lord, you have entered this material world as if in sleeping condition, exactly like a conditioned soul who, in his sleeping condition, creates a false or temporary world out of his mind and becomes busy in so many illusory activities and sometimes becoming the king or sometimes being murdered or sometimes going to some unknown city. And as all of them are simply temporary affairs, similarly, your Lordship also enters this material world to create a temporary manifestation, not for your personal necessity, but for the conditioned soul who wanted to imitate your Lordship as enjoyer. The conditioned soul's enjoyment in the material world is temporary and illusory. Still, the conditioned soul is unable to create such temporary situation for its illusory enjoyment. In order to fulfill their desire,
although temporary and illusory, you also enter in this temporary manifestation to help him in the matter of his desire enjoyment. Therefore, from the beginning of the conditioned soul entering in the material world, you are constant companion. The conditioned soul, therefore, when he comes in contact with some pure devotee and takes to the devotional service, beginning from the hearing process of your transcendental pastimes, glorifying your transcendental activities, worshipping your eternal form in the temple, offering prayers to yourself, engage themselves in discussion for understanding your transcendental position, the devotees in that way become gradually freed from the contamination of material existence. Their hearts become cleansed of all material dust, and thus gradually you become visible in the heart of the devotees. Although you are constantly with the conditioned soul, still when he becomes purified by devotional service, you become revealed to him. Others who are bewildered by fruitive activities, either by Vedic injunction or customary feelings, thus become captivated by the external happiness of bodily concept of life. To such person, you do not become revealed, and you remain far, far away from him. But one who has purified his heart by constant chanting of your holy name, being engaged in your devotional service, for such person you become very easily understood as his eternal constant companion. As it is said that your Lordship sitting on the heart of a devotee, give him a direction by which he can come very quickly back to home, back to you. This direct talking and dictation by you to your devotee reveals your existence within the heart of a devotee. And as such, only the devotees can appreciate your existence immediately within his heart, whereas a person who has only bodily concept of life and engage in sense gratification, you always remain covered by the curtain of yogamaya. Such person cannot realize that you are very near and sitting in his heart. For such non-devotee, you are appreciated only as the ultimate death. Exactly in the same way, when the cat carries its cubs in the mouth, the cat carries a rat in the mouth. In the mouth of the cat, the rat feels deathness, whereas the kiddies in the mouth of the cat feels motherly affection. Similarly, you are present to everyone, but one feels you as the ultimate cruel death, and to the devotees, you are the supreme instructor and philosopher. The atheist class of man, therefore, should understand the presence of God as death, whereas the devotees understand the presence of God always within his heart, takes dictation from you, and lives transcendentally without being affected by the contamination of material world. You are the supreme controller and superintendent of the material nature's activities. This class of man simply observes the activities of material nature, but cannot find you as the original background. But a devotee can immediately see your hand in every movement of the material nature. The curtain of yogamaya cannot cover the eyes of the devotee or your lordship, but it can cover the eyes of the non-devotee. Thus, they are unable to see you eye to eye, exactly like a person whose eyes are interrupted by the covering of the cloud cannot see the sun. But persons who are flying above the cloud can see the sunshine as brilliantly as it is. My dear Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. My dear self-effulgent Lord, I am your eternal servitor. Finally, therefore, order me, what can I do for you? The conditioned soul feels the pangs of material contamination as a threefold miseries. So long you are not visible to them, and as soon as you are visible by development of Krishna consciousness, simultaneously all miseries of material existence become vanquished.
Production clause, next paragraph. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is naturally very much affectionate and inclined to his devotees. When he heard the prayers of Sutadev, exactly like a pure devotee, he was very much pleased and immediately caught his hands and began to address him as follows. Prem-Kurasan, my dear Sutadev, all these great sages and sentient persons, brahmanas, are very kind upon you that they have personally come here to see you. If you consider this opportunity as a great fortune for you, they are so kind that they are traveling with me so that wherever they go, simply by the touch of the dust of their feet, immediately they make the whole atmosphere as pure as transcendence. People are accustomed to go to the temples of God, pay visit holy places of pilgrimages, and after prolonged association with such activities, they touch and worship gradually. In many days, one becomes purified by the influence of great sages and saintly persons is so great that immediately by seeing them, one becomes completely purified. Not only that, the purifying potency of pilgrimages or different demigods is achieved also by the grace of saintly persons. A pilgrimage becomes holy place on account of presence of the saintly persons there. My dear Sutadev, when a person is born as a brahmana, immediately he becomes the best of all human beings. If such a brahmana takes to his eligible activities as austerities, learning the Vedas, to remain self-satisfied and engaged in my devotional service, as it is the duty of the brahmana, or in other words, when a brahmana becomes a Vaishnava, what to mention about his greatness? My feature of 400 Narayana is not so much pleasing to me as much as a Brahman Vaishnava is dear to me. Brahmana means well conversant with Vedic knowledge, or a Brahman is insignia, all perfect knowledge, and so far I am concerned, I am the full-fledged manifestation of all gods. Less intelligent class of men do not understand me, within brackets, Krishna. Neither do they understand the influence of Brahmana, Vaishnava, become influenced by the three modes of material nature, and thus dares to criticize me and my pure devotees. A Brahman Vaishnava, for a devotee already on the Brahmanical qualification, can realize me within his heart and thus concludes definitely the whole cosmic manifestation along with its different features, the effects of different energies of the Lord. Thus they have clear conception of the whole material nature, total material energy, and in every action such devotee sees me only and nothing else. My dear Sutadev, you can therefore accept all these saintly great persons, brahmanas and sages, as my bona fide representatives by worshipping them
faithfully, will be worshipping me more diligently. Worshipment of my devotees is considered by me as more than my direct worshipment. And without worshipping my devotees, if someone attempts to worship me directly, I do not accept such worshipment, even it is presented with great opulence or paraphernalia, etc. In this way, both the Brahmin Sutadev and the king of Maitla, under the direction of the Lord, worship both Krishna and his followers, the great sages, saintly brahmanas, on the same level of spiritual importance. Thus, both of them ultimately achieve the supreme goal of being transferred in the spiritual world. As the devotee does not know anybody else except Lord Krishna, similarly, Krishna is also very, very much affectionate to his devotee. As that Lord Krishna remained in Mithila, both at the house of the Brahmin Sutadev as well as in the palace of the king, Pulasa, and after favoring them lavishly by his transcendental instruction, he went back to his capital city, Dwarka. Next, the instruction we receive in this connection that King Bahulasa and the Brahmana Sutadev were accepted by Lord on the same level because both of them were pure devotees. Lord Krishna's visit in the city of the real qualification of being recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to become his pure devotee. To take birth either in the family of a Kshatriya or in the Brahmin, to become proud of such hereditary right as it has become the fashion of this age, that without any qualification on account of birth only, one is passing on as Brahmin or Kshatriya or a Vaishya. In this age, it is said, everyone is a Shudra. It is said in the scriptures, Kalau Shudra Sambhava, because there is no performance of the purificatory process beginning from the pregnancy up to the point of death, which is known as samskaras. Nobody can be classified simply by birthright, especially the higher caste, namely the Brahmin, Kshatriyas, and the Vaishyas. If they do not have the Karbhadan samskara, or the purificatory process of seed-giving ceremony, one is immediately classified amongst the Shudras, because the Shudras do not have that purificatory process, and without it, seed-giving process or sexual life is accepted. Conclusion is, sex life without purificatory process of Krishna consciousness is the seed-giving process of the Shudras or the animals. Krishna consciousness is therefore the highest qualification for everyone to come to the platform of Vaishnava, which includes all the qualifications of a Brahmin. Vaishnavas are therefore trained to become free from the four kinds of sinful activities, namely illicit sex, indulgence of intoxicants, gambling, and eating animal foodstuff. Nobody can be on the Brahminical platform without having these preliminary qualifications. And without becoming a qualified Brahmin, nobody can become a pure devotee. But in the reverse order, one who has attained stage of becoming a pure devotee or Vaishnava has all the good qualities of a Brahmana. That ends the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the 56th chapter, Krishna describing kidnapping of Subhadra and Lord Krishna's visiting Sutadev and Bahulasa.